Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something, pretty huge. It's about how search, the way we find stuff online is completely changing.
Yeah, it really is. We're talking like a total metamorphosis. The old 10 blue links. That's rapidly becoming history.
So our goal today is to really unpack how AI is driving this massive shift. We'll get into this idea of AI-first discovery, something called generative experience optimization, GEO, and what the big players, Google, OpenAI, Amazon, Meta, are doing.
Right. It's all pointing towards a future where we interact more with AI assistants who kind of handle the searching for us.
And for you listening, the takeaway here is understanding how your everyday online interactions are set to change, like really change. How you find info, how you consume it, maybe even how you create it.
Think of this as, getting you up to speed on one of the biggest shifts happening right now.
Okay, let's dive in. So, this shift. Our research describes the current state of, say, Google pretty bluntly, calls it a mix of low-quality AI-generated content, lots of ads, those zero-click things.
Yeah, and hardly any actual organic links left sometimes. It's a bit of a mess.
But the future they paint is even more radical. The idea is you won't really go search on a website anymore.
Oh, exactly. You'll just talk to an AI assistant,
right?
And it does all the heavy lifting, the searching, in the background, quietly.
It's a whole different way of thinking about finding information.
It really is. And one key concept from the sources is this probabilistic nature of search. It's not like the old index giving fixed results. AI search is, well, it's fluid.
Fluid how? Like uncertain.
Yeah, exactly. Uncertain. Things change constantly. Like AI bots might render JavaScript one day, then suddenly stop the next. Or OpenAI, they use Bing in Google's index. Now they're apparently building their own. It suggests that maybe websites, as we know them, might not be the main place for business content down the line. It's all kind of up in the air.
Okay, that probabilistic idea feels different. Definitely not the solid list of links we're used to. So in this AI-first world, what's the biggest difference, you think, that people listening will actually notice day to day?
I think the biggest thing is just the feel of it. It won't be typing keywords, getting a list, and sifting through. It'll feel more like a conversation.
A conversation.
Yeah, with something intelligent that already gets you, understands what you're after, sometimes before you even fully ask. The friction, the typing, the clicking, that starts to melt away.
And the probabilistic part, how does that show up?
It means the answer you get might not be the same answer someone else gets, or even the same one you get tomorrow for the same question. It's less about one single truth, more about the most likely answer for you right now.
Okay, so it's tailored, but maybe less predictable.
Exactly. And understanding why it gives you that answer becomes really important for trusting it.
Right. Trust is key. And speaking of less friction, typing itself is a bottleneck, isn't it? We think and talk way faster than we type.
Absolutely. Which is why this move towards multimodal search is such a big deal. Voice search was kind of a joke in SEO for ages.
Huh. Yeah. Despite Siri and Alexa being everywhere.
Right. But the new AI stuff, it's making voice way more powerful. Look at Google's Project Astra. It's got native audio dialogue, understands accents, different languages, complex questions.
So you can just talk to it naturally.
Pretty much. Like talking to a person. These large language models, the LLMs, they're the brains making it happen. Amazon's doing similar things with Alexa, plus Esther, making it more conversational.
It really starts to feel like just chatting with a smart assistant.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And it's not just voice. Visual search is huge now, too.
You mean like pointing your phone at stuff?
Yeah. Google Lens does basic object ID translation, but Esther takes it further. Real-time Q&A using your camera.
Mm-hmm.
Google's new Search Live mode lets you ask questions about what you're seeing right now.
Whoa. So I could point my phone at, say, a weird plant in my garden and just ask, what is this?
Exactly. And Astra streams the video to an AI model and gives you an answer instantly. It adds this digital layer onto the physical world. Discovery isn't just typing words anymore.
It's becoming site-driven, too.
Totally. Which leads into this idea of embodied search.
Embodied search, like built into devices we wear or use.
Right. Integrated into the world around us, aware of context. Think Google's smart glasses prototype from Astra. The AI sees what you see.
And it can overlay info
or
give guidance.
Yeah. Imagine it helping someone visually impaired navigate or guiding you through a recipe by seeing the ingredients on your counter. It's like an extension of your senses.
Okay. The implications there for content creators must be massive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Search engines now need to understand images, audio, maybe even 3D data. If you're making content, you need to think beyond text.
Rich images, video.
AR experiences, stuff that works for voice assistants, hands-free, eyes-free content will be favored. Google, Amazon, Meta. They're all pushing this. Your camera, your mic, they're the new search boxes.
So for businesses or creators listening, what's the practical takeaway? How do you actually prepare for search being about sights and sounds, not just keywords?
You've got to diversify your content strategy. Like, seriously. High-quality images, videos with good descriptions so AI understands them. Think about audio. Can your info be delivered clearly by voice?
Like podcast snippets or short audio answers?
Could be. And for physical products or places, how can AR add value? Basically, optimize for all the senses an AI might use. Make your stuff easy for an AI to see, hear, and understand in context.
Optimize for all senses. Wow, that's a big shift.
And this ties into the next huge area, right? Hyper-personalization.
Definitely. Right. Because the AI sees and hears your world, it understands your context deeply. Mm-hmm. Combine that with all the data these companies have.
And you get search results that are almost spookily tailor-made.
That's the idea. It's not just your past search history. It's AI knowing your preferences, your interests, your past chats to give you exactly what you need or even create it on the fly. Like the example in the research, asking what's for dinner. And the AI remembers you like BBQ, knows your soft preference, but suggests a new vegan recipe it thinks you'll like based on videos you watched.
Exactly like that. Project Astra is designed to learn and remember preferences for these kinds of tailored recommendations.
And it's not just Google, right? OpenAI is doing this.
Yeah. ChatGPT has custom instructions and memory features now. It remembers your style, your topics across chats. So the same question gets different answers for different people. It's like a personalized filter on the world's information.
Amazon, too, with Alexa, plus knowing shopping habits, music, even dietary needs.
Right. As for dinner ideas, and it remembers your daughter's vegetarian or your partner's gluten allergy. Meta uses your social connections, recommending places your friends liked. It moves search from here's a list for everyone to here's the answer for you.
The convenience sounds amazing, like truly effortless, but hang on, does this mean we lose out on discovering things accidentally? The stuff we didn't know we were looking for?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Does it put us in a kind of digital bubble? Or maybe even subtly nudge our choices? What should we be asking ourselves here?
That's the double-edged sword, exactly. Convenience is great, but yeah, the privacy implications are huge. How much data is too much? Who sees it?
Right.
But beyond privacy, there's the filter bubble risk. The AI just keeps feeding you more of what it thinks you like, limits exposure to new ideas, different views.
Serendipity dies.
Could be. And what about bias in the AI's training data? Could it subtly steer you? It comes back to trust. Can these companies build systems we genuinely trust with our digital lives? Because without that trust, this personalized future, it doesn't really work.
We need to stay critical even when the answer feels perfect.
Absolutely. Remember, the AI optimizes for efficiency, not necessarily for broadening your horizons.
Okay, that's a really important point. And underpinning all this personalization is memory, right? The AI remembering past interactions.
Yes. Unlike old search, where every query was fresh, these new AI assistants remember context across chats, across sessions, even across devices. It's like an ongoing conversation.
So I could start planning a trip on my phone.
And then pick it up later on smart glasses, and the AI remembers where you left off. Or you could ask, what was that Thai place I looked up last month? And it knows. That persistent memory is key.
And that enables proactive help.
Exactly. If the AI knows your context and remembers it, it can anticipate things. Alexa suggesting you leave early because of traffic or reminding you a product you viewed is on sale.
Or maybe surfacing a car maintenance reminder months after you asked about it.
Precisely. Google's whole vision for a universal AI assistant relies heavily on this long-term memory for handling complex multi-step tasks over time.
The benefit seems obvious. No more repeating yourself, like saying, book me that same trip again for the spring.
Right. It just knows. For marketers or content creators, it means your content might live on in the AI's memory. So making a good, accurate impression is vital. And it creates chances for your info to be delivered proactively at just the right moment.
So how does this memory thing change the whole user journey? And what does it mean for the content itself?
Well, the journey stops being just a series of one-off searches. Becomes this continuous relationship with the AI.
Yeah.
Discovery is ongoing, proactive.
And the content
needs depth, accuracy, timeliness. It needs to be so good the AI wants to remember it and surface it again later. You're not just optimizing for one search query. You're building a knowledge asset the AI can trust and reuse over time. maybe for months.
Building a long-term knowledge asset. Okay, now these assistants doing all this complex stuff, they can't work alone, right? They need data, tools, other agents.
Exactly. Which brings us to interoperability. Things like the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
MCP, what's that?
Think of it as like a universal adapter, a standard language so AI models and tools can talk to each other securely. It lets your AI assistant plug into different data sources without needing custom setups every time.
So my AI could pull info from my company's internal wiki or my cloud drive?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
If those systems support MCP, you ask about Project X status, and your AI uses MCP to query your project app directly, you never leave the AI interface.
And it's two-way. Data sources can push updates to the AI.
That's the goal. So if you ask what's happening today, the AI gets live updates from your calendar, weather apps, news feeds via these persistent MCP connections. It gives the AI dynamic memory and broad tool access.
Okay, that's connecting the AI to data. What about AIs talking to each other?
That's where agent-to-agent communication, A2A, comes in. Google launched this as an open protocol early 2025. If MCP connects AI to data, ATA connects AI agents to other AI agents, even from different companies.
So like AI teamwork?
Kinda. Imagine your main AI is like an orchestra conductor. You give it a complex request.
Like plan my weekend trip and book everything.
Right. That's not one simple task.
Yeah.
So using A2A, your main AI, the conductor, delegates, it calls on a specialist travel agent for flights, or a restaurant agent for dinner reservations, maybe a deal-finding agent.
And they all report back.
Exactly. They collaborate, communicate progress, and the main agent coordinates it all to give you the final plan. It suggests no single AI will do everything best. It'll be a network.
And Google has partners for this A2A thing.
Over 50, apparently, hosted by the Linux Foundation. So it seems like there's real momentum behind building this ecosystem of collaborating agents. It might even mean your Apple AI could use a Google agent for a specific task. Or vice versa.
Which, again, for marketers means
making sure your services have good APIs and structured data that these agents can understand and use. That becomes just as important as old school SEO.
Okay, let's just nail this down. MCP and A2A, can you give us the quick difference one more time and why we need both?
Sure. MCP is about one AI getting access to lots of data and tools. Think of it as giving one expert a massive library and toolkit. A2A is about different expert agents working together on a complex job. Like assembling a team of specialists.
Got it. One gets smarter, the other enables teamwork.
Exactly. You need both. MCP gives the agent the knowledge. A2A lets it orchestrate complex actions by leveraging other specialized agents. It moves us way beyond simple search queries.
So pulling it all together, every big tech company is basically rethinking search around these AI assistants.
Totally. Google's got Gemini in search, Project Astra for that real-time multimodal stuff. Project Mariner for agents that actually do things online, like buy tickets.
Yeah.
They even showed an agent mode in Chrome.
And OpenAI.
They're coming at it from the conversational side. ChatGPT's search mode, their operator agent prototype doing multi-step tasks. And they're talking about agents as a platform feature, customizable AIs for specific tasks, like monitoring competitors.
Meta's making big moves, too, with their superintelligence labs using all that social data.
Yep. And don't forget Microsoft pushing Bing and Copilot. Apple with its own AI plans and Vision Pro, plus startups like Perplexity. They're all in this race.
The common thread seems to be weaving search into everything, mostly through these AI assistants.
That's it. The promise for users is huge convenience. Conversational, proactive, context-aware search that takes action.
But the challenge for creators and businesses
is that getting found isn't just about ranking on a page anymore. It's about being the trusted source the AI picks for an answer, or the service the agent chooses to complete a task.
The search box isn't just a box anymore, it's a dialogue.
A dialogue with an AI that can understand, decide, and act.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, we've covered a lot. Search moving way beyond keywords, the rise of multimodal voice, visual embodied search, hyper-personalization, AI memory enabling continuous conversation, and these crucial interoperability protocols, MCP and A2A.
And what it means for you, really, is that finding information or getting things done online will feel less like you doing the work and more like having a conversation with a super capable assistant that anticipates what you need.
So here's a final thought to chew on. The future of search looks like a personal AI that handles the searching, the deciding, and the acting all in one seamless flow, optimizing for that future. Well, that starts right now.
What are you going to do to get ready?
Thanks for joining us on the Dev Dive.